It's good to see you back here, healthy. So we'll continue to pray for you. Also, we're still in Jonah, and today we're going to do the entire chapter 2. And we're going to be in the fish with Jonah today, and then get him out of the fish by the end of the service. All right. Have you ever been a failure in your life? Have you ever considered yourself to be a failure in your life? Maybe you failed morally or in other sinful ways. Maybe there's been times where you have failed possibly as a spouse, or maybe you consider yourself having failed as a parent. Have you ever had those not so pleasant experiences of feeling and thinking of yourself as having failed in some area of life, majorly failed, like hitting a low point in life where it's very difficult to get back up once you fail that low? Today, if you have, maybe you are, in a situation where you are failing now, and nobody knows or sees, but that's how you feel right now in life. If that's you, I wanted to propose the idea today that if you find yourself in a very low point in life, having hit rock bottom perhaps, having failed beyond considering yourself a failure beyond what others can imagine, then if you are in that spot, in that situation right now in life, I want to suggest to you that things might not be as bad as you actually think. Because you might be in the best position possible in your life to experience a major breakthrough. So things might not be as bad as you think. Because from where you are in life right now, if you are indeed that low, you might be positioned perfectly to experience a major breakthrough in life. And we're going to see why that is the case today from Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. We're halfway through Jonah. We have two more chapters to go after this, but today is Jonah chapter 2. And Jonah chapter 2, this is what it says. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is, the story of Jonah continues. We started with Jonah experiencing tremendous success in his ministry. Things were going really well for him. He was prophesying to the king. He was respected and loved by all people in his nation. He was highly regarded as a prophet. His prophecies became true. They were positive. Everybody loved him. Everybody liked him. We started with Jonah going through a season like that. But very quickly, things turned in a different direction. And Jonah started to experience some trouble and struggles. And as we see Jonah experiencing hardship, we get to see a side of Jonah that you couldn't see when everything was going well. You see, when everything is going well, you can't really see what that person is really made out of. But the moment things start to go bad, you can start to see who they really are. And that's what we're seeing with Jonah. The moment he disobeyed God, or God told him to do something, we see that he was disobedient. He was not really a good prophet. He was disobedient. He didn't want to obey God. We see that he didn't love God as much as a prophet of God should have. He was not as committed to God as he should have. He didn't trust in God as much as he should have. We saw that not only was he disobedient to God and rebellious and running from him, but he was also proud and stubborn and a racist. Those are some of the things that surfaced out of the life of Jonah that you couldn't see when things were going well, but became very clear the moment life started to go in a difficult direction. And today, we find Jonah in the toughest situation that he's been thus far. Last chapter, we left off with the sailors throwing Jonah into the sea, because that was the only way they could live. They throw Jonah into the sea, and today we hear Jonah's testimony through a psalm, a prayer he wrote inside the fish, a prayer of thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving he wrote inside the fish. He explains how difficult his situation was. He says that, you know, he was drowning, he was going down to the bottom of the sea, he had seaweed wrapped around his head, he was going into the heart of the sea. He was fainting away, meaning he was about to lose breath. He wasn't going to make it long. He was drowning. He had seaweed all over him, and he couldn't breathe anymore. And pretty soon, he was fainting away. He would pretty soon run out of breath and die. And that's what we can see from Jonah. But you know, his difficult situation didn't end there. It actually got worse. He goes deeper and he says that not only was he drowning and fainting, and he says that he kept on sinking into the roots of the mountain, which would have been the lowest part of the earth. And then he says that pretty soon he would pass the bars of Sheol, which, you know, if you just, you know, do all the study to try to understand what he's saying, basically what he said was he was sinking, he was running out of breath. He knew for a fact that he was going to die. The bars, the gate, was this gate that, you know, back then they believed that you, in order to pass to death, you have to go through a gate, the bars, gate that was made with bars, and you could never come out of that gate anymore. You were going to the place of no return. He's saying the bars will close upon me. He knew that he was going to die. And then Sheol, this is the interesting word. Sheol actually... And the New Testament is translated Hades, which was actually the place, is the place of the dead, is where the dead people go. But it had a little bit deeper meaning than that. It was not only the place where the dead people went, but Sheol was the place between death and resurrection. It was where people who died, that, you know, rebelled against God, it was a place where sinners, Satan and demons would go to and be at until they would be resurrected into hell, the lake of fire. So it was a place where people would die and remain in until God would bring final judgment and transfer everybody from Sheol into the place, the ultimate place of destruction called hell and the lake of fire. That's what Sheol was. It was a place where those who rebelled against God, who sinned against Him, demons and Satan would actually be at temporarily until they would be finally transferred into eternal torment. So we can see how Jonah is feeling here. And not only that, he says that, you know, he says here that actually, in verse 4, he says, Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. I am driven away from your sight. Meaning, he felt utterly abandoned by God. Isn't it interesting? This whole time, he's been wanting to run from God. He's been running, wanting to run away from God, escape from God. He's been, you know, trying to ignore God. He's been trying to abandon God as far as he could. And interestingly, he finally gets his wish. He feels as if God has totally abandoned him. He feels that if God doesn't care for him anymore, God has given up on him. And God is nowhere near him. He feels utterly alone. God has deserted him. He's been wanting to run away from God so badly. He finally got his wish. God said, your will be done. And he let him be. And now he is sinking and thinking that he's going to continue to sink, die, and go to the place where those who rebel against God go for the rest of eternity. This is how Jonah is you know, feeling right now. Utterly hopeless. He's sinking to the lowest point of the earth, not only earth, but the place where he will be permanently, forever separated from God, like he wanted. He wanted to be separated from God, and he's finally getting his wish. He's going to be forever separated from God. And by the way, you know, even people today, you know, God sends nobody to hell. I mean, you know, this passage is talking about hell. I know it's not a popular topic, but we need to stay true to what the scriptures teach. And it is kind of, you know, it's not directly talking about hell, but it is talking about Sheol, which is the place that everybody knows was a temporary place to transfer to eternal torment. And God sends nobody to hell. But if we run from God, you know, continue to run from God our entire lives, a day will come. You know, when God's finally going to say, okay, fine, have it your way. You want to run away from me? Then your will be done. You can be eternally separated from me. If that's what you really, really want. So God sends nobody to hell, but he does grant the wish of those who don't want him around. Eventually, at some point. For the rest of eternity. And that's essentially what, you know, we can see with Jonah. And it took literally Jonah basically almost tasting eternal torment to finally open his mouth. It took almost eternal torment kind of experience for Jonah. Like anybody would have done when you panic or when you're in a, like about to die kind of situation. Finally, after he gets to as close to hell as he possibly can, he opens his mouth. And then he says, God help me. And unlike Jonah, remember, Jonah ignored God and ran away from God. Unlike Jonah, the moment Jonah cries out to God, the moment he opens his mouth and asks God for help, God comes to him immediately, and he sends a large fish to temporarily house Jonah so he will not drown and die. Immediately when he cries out to God, he stops sinking. So far, from Jonah 1 till now, his life, when he went away from God, when he ran away from God, his life was sinking. Kept on going down to Joppa, to the bottom of the ship, to the lake, to the sea, and now to the bottomest part of the sea. He kept on sinking, but the moment he cries out to God, and God listens to his prayer, unlike Jonah who ignored God, God comes to the rescue of his prophet. He listens to his prophet's prayer, and the moment he cries out to God, the change, the direction of his life completely changes. He stops sinking, he stops going down, and he starts to go up. He stops going away from God, and he starts to go towards God. That's what it means when he's talking about, I will, you know, see your holy temple again. Meaning he wants to worship God again. The moment he cries out to God, he starts to see that. You know, Jonah, some of the topics that, you know, we just briefly kind of touched upon are topics that are not popular today. Like sin, right? Like Jonah actually finally, by the way, he hasn't fully repented yet. He just asked for help. He didn't say sorry yet. He knows that God sent judgment upon his life, and that's why he's at the bottom of the sea. That was God bringing discipline for the consequences of his actions. He knows God is pouring his wrath upon him, but he still hasn't said sorry. But he does ask for help. But one of the things that Jonah needed to know was that he was a sinner. He needed to know he was a sinner. Before anything could change in his life, he needed to know that he's a sinner. But to someone like Jonah, who's so prideful and religious and stubborn and hard-hearted, you can't tell somebody like that that you're a sinner. To somebody so religious and cold like Jonah, you can't really tell them that they're sinners. They're beyond that. You have to show them that they're sinners. You can no longer just tell them, you're a sinner, you need God's grace. He was beyond that. That would have done nothing to him. It would have not impacted him at all. He would have not accepted the fact that he was a sinner if somebody just told him you're a sinner. He needed to be shown at the lowest part of the sea. He needed to go through all of this just so that he can be shown that he's a sinner. And sometimes that's how it is for us today too. Sometimes we are so far from God as religious people that we can no longer be told that we're sinners. The only hope we have is to be shown. And that's, you know, what we're seeing with Jonah right now. He's being shown that he's a sinner because it is so important for this story and for Jonah to know that he's a sinner. It is so important for him to know he's a sinner. It is so important for him to know that he's actually headed to hell if he continues down this path. These are topics that are not popular today that, you know, like, you know, it's difficult to talk about. But if it's in the chapter, it's something that we have to do. We live in a generation also where people don't want to accept the fact that we're sinful. Right? That's what most people, what turns them off from Christianity, turns them away from Christianity. But it's not just the people outside of the church. Even inside the church, we don't want to be told that we are sinners. We don't want to accept the fact that we're sinners. We'll accept as much as, I think I have a problem, but I'm not a sinner. I can fix my problems. We don't want to get all the way down to the point where we have to see that we're actually sinners. And the only thing that we deserve is actually death and eternal torment apart from God. Like that hasn't changed. That's still very true. But we live in times, even in the church, where we don't want to believe that anymore. This generation is actually maybe doing a little bit better than previous generations. In terms of previous generations, like the adult generation, the church back then, they worked very hard to make sure that, you know, everybody thought that they were okay. They tried to hide sin and who they really were as much as they could. And eventually, it'll come out in a bigger way, somehow, somewhere. But at least the previous generation, they tried very hard to hide sin. This generation is doing a little bit better in the sense that they don't try to hide it anymore. They don't try to hide it. They're okay with showing the world their struggles, their problems. You see athletes talking about mental health. You see them talking about depression. You see them very open and honest and transparent. They're willing to be more open. They don't want to hide anymore. They don't want to put a mask on. They're willing to be vulnerable and transparent. That's progress from the previous generation. However, it is not deep enough. It is not enough to simply say, you know what, I think I have a problem, but a little bit of therapy, a little bit of coaching, science can fix this. It's not enough to just get to that point. We need to go deeper. We need to go deeper and we need to see, just like Jonah, we need to be shown that the problem that we all have is actually the problem of sin. We need to be shown that it's not therapy that we need. We are sinners that deserve to go to hell. That's what Scripture teaches. If we die without Jesus, that's where we're going. That's what we need to... We can't hide it. We can't just package it as therapy and, you know, like coaching and I can fix myself, I can save my... I have a problem, but I can... No, we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We have a problem that we cannot save ourselves. That's what Jonah is showing. He's showing us that there's nothing that he can do to save himself. He's going to go through the gates of death and he's going to end up in Sheol and he can't do anything to save himself. It's not therapy and coaching. He's a sinner and he's about to enter Sheol. And there is nothing that he can do. Only God can save him. And it took Jonah to the point of basically tasting and almost sensing and feeling what hell is like for him to open his mouth and cry out to God. But that's what he needed. He needed to be shown that he's a sinner because he was beyond just being told. He wouldn't have, you know, nothing would have happened in his life if he was told that he was a sinner. He would have probably argued back. He needed to be shown at the bottom of the sea that he was a sinner because only when he can accept, even though it wasn't fully yet, only when he can accept that he's a sinner will he experience breakthrough. Only when he can accept that it's not therapy or coaching and it's not just some things he needs to fix, but only when he can accept that he's a sinner, he will experience breakthrough, rescue. He will experience grace. Only when we can accept, when we can get to the point where we accept that we are sinful, where we hit rock bottom. This is why we need sometimes to hit rock bottom. This is why sometimes we need to hit the lowest point in life. This is sometimes why we need to fail massively. Because only if we get to the point, we might have a chance to actually experience a breakthrough. Experience grace. Because only when Jonah was about to drown forever, that he opened his mouth. He wouldn't open his mouth until chapter 2. He would never be proud, you know, proud prophet. He would never open his mouth. He would never accept his fault. He will never run back to God until he was utterly helpless, very close to entering the gates of death. Only when he was there, he finally opens his mouth and he experiences grace. He experiences breakthrough. Instead of death, which is what he deserved, he gets God to come to send a large fish and rescue him and give him a breakthrough rather than the death that he deserved. The only way for you, this is also the reason why we need to be shown that we're sinners. If we can't see that, if we can't accept that, you will never understand grace. You will never experience grace. You will never have a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough in life. It just cannot happen. So that's, you know, what we see. That Jonah needed, it was necessary for him to sink that low so he can open his mouth. Because that was the only thing that would open his mouth to ask God for help. And it would open the floodgates of grace into his life. That was the only thing that would bring grace. That was the only thing that would bring a breakthrough. That was the only thing that would actually, the only thing that would get him to open his mouth was sinking to the point of dying. If you are sinking, if you are drowning, if you are failing, if you are at a low point in life, perhaps, that's also what you and I need. To experience breakthrough. To experience grace. For us to open our mouths and say, God, I am so sorry. Can you please help? If you are going through a season like that, you are very, very close to a breakthrough. You are very, very close to experiencing grace. You know what you're going to find? You know what Jonah is actually teaching us for the Christian? The more we sink, when we come to the end of our failures, the lower we go in life, what Jonah is teaching us is that for the Christian, the more we go low, the more we suffer, what we're going to find at the end of our suffering, at the end of our failure, what we're going to find when we hit rock bottom, do you know what you and I are going to find? We're going to find grace. We're going to find grace. For the Christian, if you hit rock bottom, you're not going to find death. For the Christian, if you hit rock bottom, you're not going to find failure. It's not going to be over for you. You are going to find grace. You're going to find God rescuing you. You're going to find God coming through for you. That is what is promised to the Christian. For us, when we hit rock bottom, when we go to the lowest possible point in life, that's where grace will be waiting for you. Isn't that amazing? This means that we can never fail. This means that it doesn't matter how bad it gets, we're getting closer to grace. We're getting closer to a breakthrough in life. Isn't that cool? Doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how difficult it is for you. You are closer to grace. In the end, you're not going to find failure, death, or whatever negative thing you're doing. You're going to find grace. You know what grace is? Simply put, grace means receiving what we don't deserve. Receiving love that we don't deserve. You know what that means? That means for you and for me as Christians, for the rest of our lives, life is going to be much, much better for you and for me than we deserve. That's always going to be the outcome. Because when we, at the end of things, the only thing we're going to find is grace. At the end of things, grace wins. Grace is bigger than sin. Grace is bigger than everything. For the Christian, for those who are in Christ, in the end of our failure, we find grace. This means that always, 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 in life, we're going to find we're going to find everything to be better than what we deserve from God. That's what we're going to find in life. So this is a new perspective of life. This is not prosperity preaching. You know, this is not poverty theology. One says, you know, like, follow God, you're going to become rich. One says, you know, sell everything you have and be poor because that means you're spiritual. Both are not biblical. One makes you anxious and makes you worry your entire life. You know, one makes you live for the wrong things and proud. What this is saying is not that we're going to be rich or that we're going to be poor. But what it is saying is that always, 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 you and I are going to have a better life than we deserve. No matter how that looks like for the Christian, you're always going to find at the bottom of everything much better than you and I deserve. Just like Jonah. Just like Jonah. He didn't deserve to be rescued. He thought he was going to die. And at the bottom of the sea,
where the gates of death were opening their doors to welcome him. Instead, he found rescue.
That's how it'll always be for the life of the Christian. For the life of the Christian, there is always future grace. Grace is waiting for you before things even happen. You and I will always find better than we deserve. And think about this. Think about your life right now. Doesn't matter how many struggles or how hard or how difficult or how much sin you have in your life right now. Honestly, can't we all say that we have much better? Life has been, God has been much, much better to us than we actually deserve. Can't we actually honestly say that? Despite the problems, the struggles that we may have, all of us probably can say, still, this is so much better than I deserve. When we look around our lives.
And you know, that's what Jonah's showing us.
That if you are very close to the lowest point of your life, and if that leads you to cry out to God, then you are at the verge of experiencing a breakthrough. You are very, very close to seeing grace unleashed in your life. You're not going to find death. You're not going to find failure. You're not going to find all the things you fear. You're going to find grace. You're going to find grace. That's the only thing that Christians can find at the bottom of things, at the end of things. That's what's awaiting us, future grace. Life will always be better than we deserve because of grace for us. But the only way to get there is for Jonah, it took him to the bottom of the sea to unleash grace. He needed to know that he was a sinner before he needed to know the bad news so that he can appreciate the good news. He needed to know how sinful he was so he could open his mouth and finally unleash grace as he saw God come through for him.
And that's sometimes what you and I also need.
Now, it would be very wrong for me to end this sermon only by talking about sin and hell. It would be devastating. It would probably be depressing, although it is true. So we're not going to end by talking about hell and sin. All of this, if you read the entire chapter, all of this, what we can see from Jonah, even when God talks about hell and things like that, or Sheol and sin. What this passage is trying to is really showing us the love of God. It's really showing us God's love for you and for me. Right?
This passage is showing us
how much God loves you and how much God loves me. Think about it. When we talk about hard things to digest, like sin and death and hell, these things, these are the things that the world doesn't like about the church. These are the things that even Christians kind of cringe when we talk about them at church. But we need to talk about hard things so that it gives our hearts a chance to be softened. Only hard things can possibly soften hardened hearts. Shock you a little bit. Pain you a little bit now. To save you from pain that's going to be eternal and a million times more painful later on. Think about how much God loves you. You are here and you heard about eternal damnation, and you heard about sin, and you heard about death. This is how much God loves you. Even if you don't believe in any of all these things, you heard about these things. Meaning, you're going to have a chance to not go there. You're going to have a chance to actually not go there if you actually start to,
believe and start to open up your heart to Christ, you might not have to spend eternity there. Isn't that so loving that right now you get bothered a little bit, right now you get uncomfortable a little bit, right now maybe you get pained a little bit because we're talking about difficult things, but if it can spare you from eternal torment, isn't it worth it to talk about it now? And aren't you so loved that God chose to send you here to this place to listen to that so that you will not end up eternally in torment, but rather eternally in paradise with Him and all believers who actually said, God, I am a sinner, I repent, and I need your grace. Isn't that the most loving thing that God can do? Tell us these things so that we don't have to experience eternal separation and death from Him, but we can live eternally with Him. This is really showing us, all of this that, this passage talked about today, it's showing us how much God loves you. God shows us, this is some of the quotes that I found about this topic. I wanted to share some with you. It says, this is how, to the extent of the love that He shows to us. It says, the incarnation of Christ tells us most emphatically how God spares nothing in going after those who run away. The cross is a picture of how far God is willing to go because He loves you. Like John Piper says, God knew how sinful we were, and He said, I want that man, that woman in my family. I will do anything to have them in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. That's love, folks. That is mega off the charts love. That's what Piper said. It's God's, when God talks to you and to me about these things, it's because what He's saying is, He's saying, you are mine, you are mine, and I will have you at any cost. You are mine. You should have gone to lower, completely abandoned from me, experienced more and more death as you got separated from me more and more, and eventually be eternally separated from me. But I needed to have you at all costs. I needed to give you another option. Although that's the only path every human being is headed to, I needed to have you with me. Even by sending my own son, even if I had to pay that price to have you with me. So He's showing us how He can actually be with us. How He can have you and He can have me for the rest of eternity. Something that, this passage is showing us. But today, I think, at a more practical level, what God is possibly trying to share with us today, I think, God maybe wants to speak more intentionally to some here who might be going through difficult times. I think God put me to study and work countless hours on this passage to share to somebody here today, that to tell somebody here today that God has not given up on you. To tell somebody here today that you will not drown. To tell somebody here today that He loves you so much that He doesn't want you to end up eternally in torment away from him. But he wants you to see that he came to rescue you from your sin so he can spend eternity with you. I think God wants to share with some of us today that if we are experiencing difficult times right now and you think you're going to sink and drown, I think what God wants you to know is that in the end, you will not drown, you will not sink, you will find grace. You are at the point of experiencing a breakthrough in life at this moment. So God wants to say to somebody today, don't give up. I am in control. I will come to your rescue. This is not the end. You will not fail. You will find grace in the end. I think that's what, as I was preparing this sermon, perhaps, what God wanted some of us to hear today. When I was in seminary, I had a Hebrew professor. He was much nicer than my other Hebrew professor that, almost failed me. And he was the total opposite. This guy was too nice. He passed everyone without even checking the grades. I loved him. I didn't learn anything, but I loved him. But now that I think about it, I think I know why he passed everybody, even though we didn't deserve to pass. This man understood grace. He gave us what we didn't deserve. And he's no longer with us now. He passed on to be with the Lord. He's passed away. But when he was my professor, he said, this is why I know this man understood grace. He experienced grace and he depended on grace every single day. Because every time we would go into his class, his name was Dr. Rigsby. He would say, hello, Dr. Rigsby. And he would always say, and then we would say, Dr. Rigsby, how are you doing? And then his response was always the same every single time. He would say, much better than I deserve. Every single time for more than 80 years, this man understood grace more and more. His response was always like, Dr. Rigsby, how are you doing? Much better than I deserve. He understood grace. He depended on grace every single moment of his life. He really, really experienced and understood grace in his life. The question is, do you understand grace? The grace that God has given you.